and welcome to the Charmed Life Podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And my name is Trisha Carr. I am your host. And this episode is going to be about animals. Welcome if it is your first time listening. I want to let you know who I am a little bit. So you might feel like there's a reason why I'm talking about this. Well, I am a spiritual teacher. I'm intuitive, a medium, a channel. Channel is probably kind of supersedes all of that even. But I'm also an animal telepath or an animal communicator. That is actually the very first psychic or spiritual gift that I opened was, well, no, it was already open. I take that back. It was already open. It was the first psychic or spiritual ability that I became aware of as after, you know, post-awakening to my metaphysical awakening. And the very first time that I actually connected with an animal consciously, you know, knowing that I was doing it with the intention of receiving information that would be evidential, it actually saved her life. Now, I'm not going to go into that right now. It was a cat. I'm not going to go into that now because I've talked about it on the YouTube channel and on this podcast. So you can probably find it if I find those episodes, I'll link it below. Just let's say that I did. Let's just pretend that I did. And you can check the description. Sorry to give you homework. Anyway, so yeah, I'm an animal telepath. And basically, I'm a telepath, telepathically connect with all realms. That's why I call myself a multidimensional medium. And the way it feels to me is just tuning into a different dial, a different frequency of the spiritual radio. So I connect with the fairy Devic realm as well, and, you know, the angelic realm, the archangelic, and other interdimensionals. And it's, you know, it's all just, to me, it's just tuning into different frequencies. But what gives me the special kind of tuning to animals in nature, you know, so I also connect with trees and insects and any other kind of nature manifestation, because where there is energy, there is information. And another way to think of information is just consciousness. There's beingness, there's aliveness. And so any particular, anything that you can imagine as something other is just an other self that you can communicate with or commune with. I like the word commune sometimes even better than communicate, especially if we're talking about the spiritual communion. And, you know, there was this, you may see on my website, or you may have heard it sometime if you've been following or for a little bit, that I also have a moniker or a title or identity as a prophet for Gaia. And I just want to say that if you hear that in any way that sounds arrogant, it's not my intention. It was actually something that I heard from Gaia. And I want to say that the word prophet, it doesn't necessarily mean like a fortune teller. I think that's what some people think about it. Someone who's foretelling some future. What a prophet is a teacher and someone who is bringing through energies, certain, you know, so in a way that we're all that, right? I mean, if you've had a child, then you're a prophet in a way, because you've brought a new soul through the portal of you. Anyway, that's what that intention is. But the prophet being someone who is willing to take up the mantle to bring through downloads or uploads on behalf and in conjunction with Gaia and her creatures, which includes animals, trees, elements, the Fae and Devic realm, and humans. All of that which is existing in the resonant chamber of Gaia's energy, what science calls the Schumann resonance. That's a mission on my heart, on my soul, and on the path of light that I am treading in this incarnation. So that's where I'm coming from. That's what that means to me. And what I want to talk to you about today is animals being a part of your magical practice, your spiritual practice, your manifestation practice. And, you know, animals, if you like witchcraft, you know, the craft of working with nature and spirit, then animals as your familiars. I really love that old-fashioned word, familiars, as it refers to your animal family members. And the inspiration for this podcast, well, of course, this episode is ever animals, of course, and nature. But specifically, it has to do with two prompts. One being that as I'm recording this and publishing this, in about 2 weeks, we have a workshop with the Light Shine Spiritual Academy that is a witchcraft workshop. And I'm co-teaching that with Stephanie C. Weinman, who is an eclectic and kitchen witch. And we're going to be just holding ritual and also teaching how to craft your own rituals and spells. And the craft of witchery is so beautiful. And it's really actually kind of the broader category of all of the manifestation practices that we do. And even like things like affirmations, those are spells. I have a real kind of affinity for it through my Celtic origins, my actual ancestral Celtic origins. And anyway, we have that workshop coming up. So I want to invite you to check that out because it's going to be so fun. And if you are an experienced witch practitioner, you're invited as well because we're going to be holding ritual together. And where two or more are gathered, boom, power, manifestation, blessing, love. So it's going to be a beautiful time. And if you're new to it and you're curious, just know it's going to be lovely. It's beautiful. It's a non-religious, you know, people associate witch and witchcraft with Wicca. And Wicca, I think, is a beautiful religion, but this is a non-religious workshop and practice that we're going to be engaging in. But I also want to give a shout out to a podcast that I just recorded today on someone else's podcast. It's not coming out for, I think, a month or two, but, you know, at any rate, you can check out her podcast whenever it is that you're listening to this. Link is in the description, Suburban Witchery. And it's the Suburban Witch podcast. And she's also on Instagram. Her name is Hannah. And it was so much fun. And we did talk about animals. That was the main topic. And so let's talk about animals in your spiritual practice, animals as your familiars, as your spiritual partners. Well, one thing that animals are so helpful with is grounding. Now, they're so beautiful. Animals are so balanced. They're so beautifully balanced because they are highly spiritual and they are also highly grounded. And so they can really help us to strike that balance. Now, the reason that humans tend to need to receive grounding as a partnership opportunity with animals is because we get astral. And astral is different than being, you know, spiritually activated. Being astral in the way that I'm using it really talks about being ungrounded, meaning you're not connected to this physical reality, or maybe you're in a fight, flight, worry, anxious state, or a depressed state even. All of those, they're really, what it is non-present. And being very spiritual in a balanced way means that you're very present, and then very present means grounded, means here. The reason being ungrounded is detrimental to us is because it's actually out of alignment with our soul's intention. Your soul dispatched you to be physical and to be a natural being, a being that is spirit and nature. And so grounding is really important, and grounding is important for us in order to actually manifest things into the physical reality. If we are not tethered, if we are untethered and we are ungrounded, we will not be calling in the physical elements to cooperate to make our manifestation a physical reality. So connecting with animals, whether they are your animal family members or being in nature, being with the grass, being with the trees, being with the squirrels and birds that are out in the wild nature, and really just clearing your mind and just being with them. That is grounding, and it also leads right into your magical practice and leads right into your physical manifestation of your desires, goals, and those things which are in a high alignment for you. If it is, actually, I was going to say if it is your animal family member, but there are also animals in wild nature who will do this as well. If they're regarding you, they may actually get in on the practice with you and actually give you an attunement, send you their energy. If you make the invitation to them, which could be by just having your energy open to them or actually asking them. Now, every time we work with an animal in any kind of practice, even if we are going to talk with them, not your own animals in your family, because, you know, you're family members, so you're talking all the time. But I mean, I do actually still make sure that I'm not intruding on my, like, say my cat, if he's napping and I'm not just like barging in there and saying, hey, wake up, talk to me, you know, something like that. It's the same kind of courtesy that you would pay to your partner or your children or something like that, or your siblings. So that same, if in your family, you know, you have a conversation portal to them, but the timing of it, you still want to be respectful. And if it's an animal that you are not in a family with, whether they're wild or they're someone else's animal, then you want to extend the same kind of courtesy. Say hello. Would you like to chat? How are you? Exactly the way you would do with a human that you don't have a relationship with. And we make the invitation. If you want to connect with the tree, you also extend it as an invitation. But we also do it from a place of confidence. So we don't want to be obsequious or, you know, overly placating or not, you know, not really in possession of ourselves about it. We want to be confident and comfortable, and being comfortable with the fact if we get a no, not right now, you know, that's okay too, because, you know, they have sovereignty and they know what's best for their balance at the time. And you know, that would be better for you then too, to connect with them at a time that is better for them. So grounding is such a magical and really powerful way to involve your animals in your magical practice or your manifestation practice. Prayer and meditation. So animals do pray and they meditate. And I've said it before, and I actually have a companion YouTube video to this that goes a little deeper into just the topic of reincarnating with your animals. So that's linked below as well. But anyway, they also, your animals pray and meditate. And a lot of times, especially I think with the animals who are in our family, like because we see them all the time, you know, your dog, your cat, or your bird, and you see them napping and you think, oh, they're sleeping. They sleep a lot more than us. And while that's true, I don't doubt, and I'm sure it's scientifically, you know, empirical, they're actually they're in varying stages, and they're intentionally doing spiritual work. They are intentionally meditating or praying some of those times. Now, you get physical rest when you meditate as well. So, you know, if science says, well, this animal is lightly sleeping, that's what it looks like. But on an energy level, on a consciousness level, in that light sleeping, meaning they're not in a delta sleep, they may be intentionally meditating. But I got to say, even if they're in a deep delta sleep, they may have gone in with the intention to do spiritual work. And so it may be a deep trance meditation that they are in. So you can ask your animal to meditate with you. You may already notice this. If you meditate regularly and you're like, oh, my dog always wants to come and sit with me, that dog is meditating with you. That's what's going on. He wants to be a part of that good stuff. If your animal comes and wants to be with you when you're doing any kind of spiritual practice, listening to a spiritual podcast, listening to a spiritual class, and they want to be with you, it's because they're participating in that practice with you. And so even just having the awareness of it and welcoming them in will help them to partner with you more deeply. And animals do pray. So they send out their intentions, and they hold space, which is kind of a prayer as well. So I have one of my cats, Delilah. She's my prayer warrior, and she will, you know, I'll ask her to pray for me. And she's actually rebuffed me before, because I came at her with a prayer request and my energy was off about it. I like didn't believe what I was asking the prayer to happen. I wasn't in the allowance of it happening. And she's like, why are you blocking this, basically? So, you know, she'll correct me. And Delilah is my great corrector. She will correct me about things. Trust me. She loves to correct me. she doesn't suffer fools or suffer foolish behavior. Anyway, so you may have, if you have several animals, maybe one of them is more of your prayer warrior type, but any of them would pray for you. I ask my animals to hold space for me or pray for me if I'm going to be doing something like teaching or working with clients or, you know, traveling or something like that. And of course, I pray for them and with them. So prayer is something that you can invite them. Let's say if you do ritual practice, if you have a manifestation ritual, maybe you make vision boards, or you have a new moon ritual that you do, you can ask your animal if they would like to be a part of it. And now for these messages.
Don't you just love this time of year? It's such a great opportunity to enjoy the crisp, cool air, to celebrate the changing colors, and also to embrace our inner witchy self. To help you do that, Lightshine Academy has created the Halloween Witchcraft Workshop, also called the Witch Shop. If you're interested in crafting and casting spells, if you want to know how to work with the Wheel of the Year and the power of nature energy, this program is for you. Join us Halloween weekend, October 30th and 31st, for a fun, immersive, and magical workshop.
Hey guys, it's Trisha Carr. I have new exciting things going on with my Mystic Arts Academy. You can now subscribe to receive all of the live monthly content for about a third of the investment of a single class. Included are at least one downloadable guided meditation per month, two live events ranging from classes, channeled messages, group readings, intuitive development guidance, Q&A sessions, and tons of community. You'll also have access to a private Facebook community for fellowship and support, and this space is kept super sacred and high vibrational. Your subscription gives you access to the whole library of classes and live events, which are on a vast array of topics. All events are offered online by Zoom video call. Subscribing to the Mystic Arts Academy is also a way for you to support the Charmed Life podcast and engage on a deeper level. I'm offering the subscription at a super low rate of $22 a month. Joining now locks in this rate for as long as you're subscribed. Click on the description of this episode or go to my website, trishacarcharm.com, and click on Mystic Arts Academy. I look forward to connecting.
Once again, we want to ask their permission and we want to trust what we get. So we need to be listening to the language of the heart and we need to trust it. And it is a subtle energy because, not because it's actually subtle, it's because it is our own energy, and feeling our own energy and the nuances of it is more familiar to you than a foreign energy. So someone, you hear... So this is the example I always give. So if you've been listening a long time, you've heard it, but that it bears repeating. If a stranger even some steps into your energy, steps into your aura, you might notice it. And you even go like, oh, what's going on? Like you kind of feel it. A stranger comes by and you're not looking and they touch your arm. Oh, gosh, someone's touching me. But if your partner brushes up against you, that's not nearly as... A big moment, right? And if you touch your own arm, you have to focus in order to even notice it. Like, you know how it's hard to tickle yourself? So it's a closed system when it's your own energy. And so it just requires a little more focus and even deeper trust. But the best thing I can tell you, and as I prepared for this episode, I kind of asked spirit, but I asked Gaia and animals, and I just kind of collected everybody, all of the animals who would be concerned. And I just said, what is a message that you really want me to convey in this? And that was the one thing they wanted to say generally to all of us humans, is listen to the voice of your heart when you're connecting with us. And that will be accurate and that will be true for our relationship. So when you invite your animal or request something of your animal, listen to the language of your heart and know that whatever their answer is, you hear, trust that you hear it, that you feel it, whatever that may seem like to you. And trust the message that comes through, yes, no, or something else, or an adjustment. Because it's actually the deeper truth about whatever your question is. They are able to discern that because, you know, they're not in the illusion in the way that we are. They have chosen to focus on the limitation of being this kind of animal for this time, but they're doing it awake. They're doing it in a fully present way. And they still have access to all of the everything else too. But this is the blessing they're focusing on right now. And they know that they're doing it. And we forget that we're doing it. Even if we're awakened, we keep forgetting. That's just how we live our lives. So just to recap, so far we have a way to partner spiritually with your animals is to allow them to be grounding partners, prayer partners, meditation partners. And some other ways that we can partner with them is with divination. Now, there's a few ways that we can do this. With our own animals, and we can actually ask them to send their energy to our divining practice. Now, let me just tell you, if you use a pendulum, you're not going to be able to swing a pendulum in front of a cat or a dog and have them see that as anything else but a toy. So I'm not talking about necessarily in a physical sense. I'm more talking about asking for their energy, the way that we align and attune our energy to our divination practice. You can ask them if they would like to be a part of it. You can also use your animals almost as a scrying tool. So you can ask them, I'm going to ask you about something, and I would like for you to be the conduit of nature and spirit to give me the information that I need. And of course, this is all happening in your state, in your subconscious, your meditative, your hypnosis state, and you are in that more altered but high vibrational place. And you want, if you get the yes from them, and then you send it the way you would send the question to the pendulum and allow it to give you the answer. Now, you can just, again, listen to the language, the communication, the communion of your heart in order to get that answer. And you can also, you know, your animal may actually physically demonstrate it for you, can give you a physical gesture or something, which you will know as the right answer. Now, I want to make sure that as you're hearing this, especially if we're talking about giving them a asking them for a physical gesture, I would probably just stay open to it and see if it's going to be the subtle language of the heart. But you can also just propose if it's going to be A, then do this. If it's going to be B, do this. But I really want to make sure that we don't get too particular or like too in our head about it. And that's sometimes what we do if we're, you know, giving some choices A and B. So just, you know, fair caution about that. Another way that animals can be partners in divination is if it, for example, like kind of like spirit animals and signs from spirit. So if you see an animal in your space when you are thinking or feeling about something, whether it's one of your own animals or a wild animal, interpret that symbolism because that is there for you. Animals are open vessels for divine energy and ecosystem, which is Gaia's unity consciousness. It's ecosystem energy. And they are always flowing where they can be a part of what will manifest the highest good. So if your animal is showing up in some place or space or gesturing or doing something, when you are in the place of wanting to divine information or guidance, interpret that like you would any other dream symbol. If you are, I was leading a class once. I'll give you an example, one example, there's a million, of wild nature. And I was actually teaching a class, and it was in my home studio, and we were talking about abundance. And then this squirrel came and stood right in front of the window that was right in front of where I was shooting the class with a huge avocado in his mouth, so huge that he couldn't even carry it. He dropped it a couple of times and he picked it back up, but then he looked right at me. And if that isn't a symbol of abundance, I don't know what. I have so much abundance with this giant nut, you know, an avocado is a nut, huge nut. I can't even hold it. I'm so rich. And so that was a huge confirmation for all of us. It was not just a confirmation about abundance that was available to us. He was also supporting us. That was like him holding space. That was like him praying. That was him adding his energy to our manifestation. And that was nature sending us the elemental representation of what is available to us as long as we allow it. So animals in nature, just like 1111 shows up for you or 44 or whatever it is, be open to it, lean into it. And interpret it, again, with the heart, with the language of the heart, with gratitude, with thank you, with I'm open to understanding how this is benefiting me, and I'm open to allowing that love and blessing to flow to me. And of course, thanking the animal. And then if this is wild nature or your own animals, you can take a moment, and even if the squirrel scurries away, He can still connect with you. So you can take a moment and take a breath, clear the slate, and make an invitation to the animal to communicate more with you, always asking and taking them at whatever it is that they give you a yay or nay. They'll probably say yes because they've been a part of the energy already. But again, we always just want to make sure that we are honoring the process and we're honoring the other being. And now animals are, they're always going to be in alignment with your intention. So if your intention is the highest good for blessing, to receive blessing, to be blessed so that you can bless, then that's what you're going to receive. So it does require trust and it requires you affirming yourself. So a question was posed actually on the podcast, the Suburban Witchery podcast, and it was a listener question that was submitted in advance and said, how do you know if your animal is your familiar? And so I'm going to just, I gave a totally different answer on the podcast, so listen to that one as well. But I just want to say that how you can know that your animal, your animal family member, but again, this could be extended to wild nature, if they want to work with you spiritually. Well, if they're your animal family member or if they're in your yard or some other place, then that's it. That's the first thing. They've already said yes because they've manifested in your space. You both have manifested in your space together in one another's space. So there's a level of just, you know, assumption because it's already, you're already there. You already said yes to it. But, you know, as so far as specific practices go, they probably already will make it known to you too. They will show you. Like I know that Barnabas, my cat Barnabas, who happens to be a solid black, you know, the traditional black cat familiar, he happens to be my number one partner for magical working and any and all things. And he has astral traveled to me once when I was on an airplane and I was nervous, and he just showed up right there in my space and said, "You're fine, you're coming home to me." He's a very magical being. Very powerful and the sweetest, sweetest guy. And he's the best person in the world. That's what we say about him. I don't know if you think you've met the best person in the world. If you haven't met Barnabas yet, then you haven't met the best person in the world. He lives with me and he's a black cat. Anyway, so he's kind of my number one familiar working with me on all magical practices because he is also the overseer in my home. He actually is the guardian for all of us. And, he's quite a responsible little guy. My Delilah has made herself known. She loves to meditate. They all love to meditate with me. Delilah really likes to do daily meditation almost every day. I mean, I meditate every day, but almost every day she meditates with me. But sometimes Franzie wants to meditate with me, and sometimes Barnabas does too. But the morning meditation is usually Delilah's. And then Delilah has made herself known to me as my prayer warrior. And again, she will adjust me if I'm doing it wrong. Franzie now, he is my luck. He's my charm. He's my lucky charm. He helps me to believe in luck. He helps me to believe in surprise and just that things are going to turn out. Now, he's a very willful guy too. And so he lends that to me. He kind of just makes things happen in his life. He does it his way. And if you ever ask him to do it another way, he disagrees and he will let you know. He's become a very bad customer at the veterinarian's office because he does not want to be there. He used to be, when we were first going, just for, you know, checkups or something small, he had a great time because, you know, there wasn't anything major happening. He was staying with me the whole time and there were all these people telling him how adorable he is and he was totally cool with it. But then when he had to go in for surgery and be left, he was turned off on the thing altogether and he became a real jerk, just so mad about it, really anxious. But he is very strong-willed. And so that is, for in my family, in my situation, I can borrow Franzi's will. And it's me tapping into it and asking for him to lend it to me because he's got a resource of it that is endless. So if I want to tap into some fortune, some luck, but it has to be done with an attitude of serendipity, that I am serendipity. I'm here for surprise and blessing and a celebration. Franzi is just a celebration of everything. So he lends that to me, that kind of magical spark. Oh, I'm just loving my baby so much. Okay. And so he's just made that known to me. He's demonstrated it. I mean, by the way, Franzi has 16 million views on YouTube because he's magical. And it's a video that keeps reviralizing. There's a few videos on there, but, you know, we've done very little to actually make that happen. We just have the opposable thumbs, so we've posted it, but we don't even keep up on it. And he keeps, like, being that magical. All right, so my Kankan is my little interdimensional, amazing, gorgeous. Whew, and he is just, he's a powerful presence. He is such a presence. And I'll just give you an example of his presence. So I tap into him for presence. I tap into him for just that kind of gravity. And gravity sounds like dense or heavy, but I'm talking about like a spiritual gravity too. It's gravitas even. This is a real life example of it. But, you know, the housekeeper, after we got Kankan, and she'd been with us for a long time, and she was vacuuming, and came to me, she was like, I can't believe it. He doesn't even budge. She's like, I've never seen a cat. She's, you know, works in a lot of homes. I've never seen a cat who doesn't budge with the vacuum cleaner. I'm like, I know. And they're just like these, because he's so present. And I'm not saying he can't be spooked like any other cat can, but he isn't that spooked that often, because he just has this kind of this deep presence about him. So he actually cleanses my energy at night too. And he gives me attunements all the time. So like Barnabas works intentionally with me in magical practices and guardianship. And Kankan is more of a presence keeper for me. And he is grounding, but he's also he gives me transcendence as well. I have my luck resource, my fortune resource with Franzi and the celebration. And then I have Delilah, who, you know, it brings the truth and will also pray. And all of them will hold space for me. And now my birdies, I love my birdies. But they have their little society right now. I actually haven't tamed them. So just a heads up to the birdies. I love them so much. They do each have their own ways that we work together. But I don't want to make it too long about my animals. But I also work with my past animals. And especially if I'm working with animals of their species. So if I'm working with a cat, then my past cat, Ami Aramis, his nickname was Ami, may show up for me. If I'm working with birds, then my cockatiel who has passed, Shalebird, may show up. But I also have parakeets on the other side, and I have dogs on the other side. But I also have dog guides, especially dog guides who I didn't actually know in this life, who work with me. And there's a few of them who come in and out, and they have specialties. But at any rate, so some of these animals could be ones who are in your family, in your home. Some could be wild, and some could be past. And they could be either be ones that you knew who were you incarnated in this life together, or in a past life. Or they could be ones who are just doing spirit guardianship. So that's a... You know, they'll reveal it to you. And if there's something that you really want from your animals, you know, you can make a request to them. But you can ask them in a meditation. You can ask them with that kind of heart connection. You can ask them if they would like to help you with meditation, prayer, ritual, scrying, manifestation, or something else like presence or fortune, the way that mine do. Really want to mention again that we want to trust what we get from our animals. That's how we can move forward. So when we're in a trust and allowance and we're listening to the language of the heart, then, and we're affirming ourselves, that's how the creation and nature energy can reach us. Now, there's one other thing that animals, the kind of collective that I tapped into, wanted to make sure that we mentioned. As I said, they wanted us, they had an overall message that they wanted to give to us that I mentioned earlier. And then one other overall message is, They want to make sure that those people who are called to activism as it regards animals and nature, they love us, and they want to make sure that we feel very powerful, and they want to partner with us in this. You see, activism is a beautiful spiritual purpose. For some people, it is a dominant part of their spiritual mission on this planet. It is a dominant part of their spiritual practice, and it's beautiful. But like other practices and, other purposes or missions that we are doing on this planet, in this human incarnation, they can kind of be hijacked by the 3D matrix, the discordant social conventional kind of matrix. And so we want to make sure that we keep it as uplifted and transcended from that as possible. And it's, you know, we're humans, so we're going to dip in and out of it. But the way that we kind of cut ourselves off from progress and from partnering with animals and nature, the way we get cut off from that is when we are in the frequencies of guilt, shame, anger, and blame, kind of that spectrum of separation. Well, let's just call it separation. Now, having said that, we are not suggesting that we repress any emotion or that some emotions are bad. In fact, all emotions are blessings. All feelings, all human states and experiences are blessings. But the way that we actually use anything that shows up as a means for transcendence is that we hold space for whatever, let's say it's anger. We let anger be there, but we are detached from the story that is being told around it. So we don't have to be right about it. Now, it can be tricky because it's like, of course, you shouldn't be cruel to animals. And it doesn't mean that that isn't true or accurate, that people should not be cruel to animals. But what we want to do is release, just be aware of the story, but not be so white-knuckled holding on to it. And rather than let that energy, the anger, be present and process it, they're showing me now, and this, we would probably feel mourning, we would feel grief, we'd feel all kinds of energies. But what we want to do that will help us to be more powerful is to, even though that is accurate, people should not be cruel to animals, we need to find a way to be one with the people who are cruel to animals. Because even if it's energetically in this moment, the only way a person's heart is changed is by another heart that is accepting it and that is holding a higher frequency of love and blessing, but accepting them as well. So if we can figure out a way to hold loosely to the story, not to need to be right, because the needing to be right energy is a separation energy and it's not a collaborative energy. And so they say that if we're in any kind of separation energy, albeit we're separating ourselves from those who are cruel to animals, we're still in a separated energy. And so they can't really reach us. Animals and nature can't really reach us to partner with them because we're just in the frequency of separation. And so that means we're separated from really everything, from the whole team. And so they want us to process and let that energy flow through us and mourn it and be sad about it and figure out a way to let compassion and unity and ecosystem bring us into the space where the activism actually has a true purpose of a forward movement. So when I say purpose, I don't just mean like purpose. I actually mean a motivation, a manifestation, a momentum that can actually work. And so then we kind of bring faith in to support that so that we can kind of have the right attitude. And this is what this is kind of about. We have emotions that are human that are going to show up, but the attitude of being stuck on a story is not necessary in order to process the anger, blame, shame, guilt, whatever it is. So if we can just be mindful of that isn't the end game. That isn't the portal. Guilt isn't the way that we make things happen. Shame isn't the way that we make things happen. Allowing it to process and then connecting back to the holistic energy so that we can have, if we do actually come face to face with someone who is cruel to animals, it's really hard. I'm feeling triggered right now as I say that. Imagine being face to face with someone who's cruel to animals. I'm having to breathe through it even. But if we could figure out how to reach their hearts, the only way we could do that is with compassion and relation. It's not easy. Doing the human thing is not easy. So, and we can take a note from animals on this, because as an animal communicator, I have animals who, you know, they'll have some kind of trauma that has happened to them. And it may even be showing up in their physical bodies. And if we go into the story about it and the animal feels really hurt about the story, let's say something happened to me where I was disregarded or I was injured or I was hurt. And if we can hear the story, a lot of times if they know that the humans have heard it and their current human guardians, their physical guardians have heard it, they sometimes instantaneously heal because they only held on to the story so until they knew that it was heard and that they were safe from that, and then they instantaneously heal. So it's so cool. The story that they hold on to is actually a tool. And when the tool's no longer necessary, they're able to just release it. So that's what we, that's why we want to get some perspective and not hold tightly to and identify to a story and let the energy of the emotion process. And if you need some help with that and connect with an animal, they will ground you and they will uplift you, both of those things, so that you can get that perspective. So let's see if we can be more like them, if we can. That's their message to us, as well as that very important message that they said, that they connect with us in the language, in the energy, in the oracle of the heart. They want us to drop into the heart, to hear them, to feel them, and to do magic with them. Well, that's my episode today, guys. And I want to invite you also to please leave a review, if you will. That helps so much. It helps me to keep this podcast going, boosted in the algorithm. It's a way to connect to the light that we are experiencing here. I would really appreciate it. And I love that you love animals. I appreciate you for that. So thank you for that and for shining your light on our beautiful world. And thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.